Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver. Glad to have you with us here on this Tuesday edition of the program. And we are very, very fortunate to have Tammy Fitzgerald of the North Carolina Values Coalition as our guest. Unfortunately, every time I get a chance to talk with Tammy, it's because some bizarre thing that somebody has done or said or asserted or tried to implement in our state that serves the purpose of trying to disintegrate or devolve or erode the values that our great state has held dear for decades and I might dare say centuries. And the latest comes from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District. I'm sure that by now you've heard about Jacob's new dress, and if you haven't, we'll tell you all about that here with Tammy Fitzgerald in just a moment. But also, Tammy's going to bring us up to speed on this ridiculous story that the Associated Press came out with on Monday, saying that House Bill 2 would likely cost the state right at $4 billion over the next 12 years. When I read that article, I thought, well, they've just made up these numbers. And lo and behold, it looks as if they have done pretty much close to that. And I think the words fake news might be appropriate here. But it's amazing how almost every media outlet in the state just grabbed that headline, House Bill 2 to cost North Carolina 3 billion. You know, let's just be absolutely, you know, outrageous in our headline. Make sure people click on the story. Make sure people scratch their head and get angry. You know, oh, those mean old Republicans, House Bill 2, costing the state money. And Tammy Fitzgerald will fill us in on the reality, which, by the way, the story is not accurate. But even if it were, those dollar amounts, and yes, they're a lot of money, not to scoff at $4 billion, but in the grand scheme of North Carolina's economy, not as much as you might think. So I'm done. Let's talk to Tammy Fitzgerald of the North Carolina Values Coalition. It's always a pleasure to speak with Tammy Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of North Carolina Values Coalition. Unfortunately, Tammy, whenever you and I talk, it typically stems from some absurdity that folks on the left have tried to impose on our state and, in particular, on our children. And that is the case today. But before we get into that, welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina.
Thank you, Mark. It's always great to be with you and on your program.
Well, you do such an excellent job of taking a stand for values and things that have been held dear by, I would say, the vast majority of folks, not only in our country, but specifically in North Carolina. However, there are those who would seek to undermine and basically disintegrate the very underpinnings of family and society. And most recently, we saw that in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District. And this one really left me scratching my head. Jacob's new dress. Tell us about that.
Well, we got an anonymous tip from a teacher that Charlotte was getting ready to roll out a new curriculum to all the school children in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system, starting in first grade through 12th grade, to sort of highlight Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And in first grade, well, the teachers were offered lesson plans that they had to use in an online site, and the first grade lesson plan included teaching the book Jacob's New Dress. When I read this book online, it clearly is designed for young children, and it is a way to indoctrinate young children about transgenderism and to normalize it. And I just think a lot of parents would object to that. Now, as we dug deeper into the subject, what we learned is that This curriculum was brought to the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system by a group called Time Out Youth that apparently has some connection to Equality North Carolina, the statewide LGBT group, which is a local affiliate of the national group, the Human Rights Campaign, and that the Human Rights Campaign has developed a curriculum called Welcoming Schools. You can go to their website, welcomingschools.com, and look at it. And this is a reference at the bottom of the training materials for teachers in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. And so what we learned from looking at Equality NC's website is that they have hired jointly with Time Out Youth a staff member who trains teachers and administrators how to implement these types of curriculums. And this person has been actually training the teachers in Charlotte in this curriculum. And Equality NC's website also says that Bank of America is partially funding this program for the school system there in Charlotte.
Wow. I've not heard that until before right now. That's amazing.
Well, it's a web, and you have to go to a lot of websites and, you know, kind of make all the connections. But it's frightening, you know, that the CEO of Bank of America Corporation, Brian Moynihan, seems to be very involved in the discussions going on in the legislature about House Bill 2. At the same time, they are funding a program in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system to basically indoctrinate young children and normalize the transgender lifestyle.
Wow. I don't really know what to say. I wasn't prepared for all of that additional information, but I appreciate you sharing it with us. And so round and round we go, Tammy, I guess. The fact of the matter is that there are those that have a very broad agenda. And really, I think you and I have talked about this before and would agree that it goes way beyond the rights of individual transgender people who I think, frankly, have been used as pawns in this whole House Bill 2 thing. I don't really believe in my heart that the Human Rights Campaign or any of these people really care about the people involved. I think that theirs is a much broader goal and concern of, as you say, indoctrination and outright change in the culture.
Well, I think, you know, behind all of this is the radical belief that equality means striking out the difference between the two sexes. And so that's why the LGBT groups have embraced the transgenderism movement, because it somewhat furthers their goal of erasing the lines between male and female.
Well, we saw that, Tammy, when last session, I believe it was, Chris Segro, who was serving as a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives, by the way, while still advocating for and being executive director of Equality NC. And there was actually an ethics complaint filed that was inappropriate. I'm not sure whatever happened to that. But be that as it may, he filed a bill last session in 2016 in the short session that was a non-discrimination type of piece of legislation. And it was very interesting to me that in the section of the bill that had to do with, you know, race, religion, disability, et cetera, as things that cannot be discriminated against, in terms of the word sex, it was biological sex or whatever it was crossed out in the proposed legislation and replaced with gender or gender identity, something like that. So there was a clear effort on his part, as you say, to completely basically obliterate you know, what has been deemed and is normal, you know, since time has begun, and replace it with this notion of gender fluidness and all of that?
Well, yeah, Chris's bill was kind of a window into what Chris and his group and the Human Rights Campaign are striving so hard for in all of their fighting against House Bill 2. What they want is a statewide non-discrimination law that would elevate sexual behavior, such as sexual orientation, which means being gay, and gender identity, which means being transgender, to civil rights status. And that's why they're fighting House Bill 2. That's their ultimate goal, is to elevate sexual behavior to civil rights status.
Well, I was in the car on the way to the studio thinking about our time together, and our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina is Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of North Carolina Values Coalition. And it's interesting what you just said, because as I was driving to the studio, I was thinking about that very word. It's behavior. You know, race is one thing, and, you know, there are legitimate inherent things that we certainly don't want to discriminate against, but you are hitting the nail right on the head. These are folks that want to validate their behavior, their lifestyle choices, and have them encoded into law as some type of constitutionally guaranteed and protected civil right.
Yes. I was just thinking as you were talking, Mark, that 10 years ago, you know, we disputed that there was any genetic component to this, that you were just born that way. And the groups that are pushing this type of issue on the nation quickly skirted away from that, because there is no scientific proof that being gay or transgendered is genetic in any way. And they don't want to talk about that. They just talk about, well, I was born this way. And so that's kind of where we are today, is they've successfully changed the direction of the narrative into I was born this way. But I do think this is a dangerous thing to be teaching in our public schools, because it creates a lot of confusion in the minds of the children who are not questioning their gender, which is the vast majority of them. First of all, it's very rare that a child would be questioning their sex. And so the vast majority of them are not. And I just want to read a little blurb from a blog that a pediatrician wrote. This is a woman who's got 30 years of experience, Meg Meeker.
Okay.
And she said, if a child hears a boy say that he is a girl, he not only becomes confused, he seriously questions his ability to make an accurate assessment. That boy or girl is declaring what he sees is wrong. And being a child, rather than rationalizing that something confusing and complicated is occurring, he determines that he is the one who cannot see things correctly. Then he wonders if what he sees is inaccurate and he's seeing anything right. A child thus learns to question his abilities to accurately assess anything around him. And so this is why the training on Jacob's New Dress and the other books, Red the Crayon and the other one, that's the one they replaced it with, are dangerous in a public school setting, because this causes the children who are not questioning what their sex is to question their abilities to accurately assess anything around them.
Wow, that really is powerful. I mean, yeah, I mean, Tammy, children are just so impressionable, and so, you know, we've all been there. Obviously, we grew up and we all went through these various stages in our life where we were learning, and you know, we certainly don't need schools propagating or indoctrinating this kind of confusion into the minds of young children. I just find it reprehensible.
Well, it is reprehensible. And what they've done in Charlotte and in Union County, you know, after the Charlotte information came out, we learned it's also happening in Union County. And I've gotten emails from parents across the state that this is happening in other school districts across the state, that they're teaching these types of books in school under the guise of teaching kids not to bully each other. Now, no child deserves to be bullied, and it's important to teach children not to bully. But the LGBT groups are using this opportunity on anti-bullying training to normalize transgender and sexual orientation behavior in the classroom.
Yeah, obviously. And, you know, I think that one thing that we need to see is that this is just another tip of a very deep iceberg. I believe that there's more to come. You know, I had Lieutenant Governor Forrest on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he has certainly been very resolute in standing for the things that have made sense in North Carolina for so many years, and, you know, putting himself out there in his support of House Bill 2 and going to Texas and helping them with their legislation. But, you know, he agreed, and I'm sure you will also, Tammy, that there's something next. In other words, you know, first, as you said, it was normalizing homosexuality and that type of behavior, and now it's trying to normalize transgender behavior. And I guarantee you there's something else on the horizon, and I shudder to think, frankly, what that might be.
Well, you know, according to the psychiatric journals, it's pedophilia. So,
oh boy,
that is the next move they're going to make, is to try and normalize that and call it a sexual orientation to be a pedophile, which is sad, very sad.
Well, yes, it is. And one thing that you and I have talked about before, and see, here's what doesn't make any sense to me, and I know that your time is valuable, and we will wind up here in just a moment, but the point I want to make, Tammy, is that this drives me crazy, because out of one side of their mouth, those on the left will scream as loudly as they can about, oh, we care about children and teacher pay and education and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, God help you if you raise your voice at your child or pop a child on the bottom who's misbehaving in line at Walmart. You know, they'll send you to, wish they could send you to jail immediately, you know, for child abuse. And yet, I have read a couple of studies that have come out and said this is abusing children when parents lead them down this path of confusion regarding their gender and encourage children to, you know, to cross-dress and all this kind of stuff. I think that is horrendously abusive to children. And yet these folks that, quote, care about children, I don't think they care about them at all.
Well, you question it. And I think one of the strongest and loudest voices in that regard is Dr. Paul McHugh, the former head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
He teaches that transgender issues in adults are very complicated, and he does not advocate gender reassignment because he says those who have had reassignment have 20 times the risk of suicide from the general population. And so the bottom line for him is that there's a lot we don't know about gender identity issues, and to impose rules or reassignment or sexual transition on children that supports gender reassignment, he called it child abuse.
Yeah.
And So giving a biologically male child the right to share bathrooms with girls and vice versa is not only wrong, it's harmful to children with and without gender identity issues. And I would just say that our children are not social experiments, and that's why the school system in Charlotte and the school system in Union County and school systems across the state who might be teaching these things are wrong, and parents should rise up and speak about this and let the schools know that they do not want this. They're not going to tolerate it. And if they can't get some improvement, then they ought to run for school board.
Lastly, Tammy, I think I'm going to write an article and ask the question, who are these people? I mean, these people that are so determined to bring this stuff into the lives of children. I mean, are they just, you know, has the school board and the city council down there been, you know, inundated with people who are just militant homosexual and LGBT activists, transgender activists? Are these just regular folks who somehow have bought in? You know, how did all this happen down there?
Well, you have a school superintendent in Charlotte, Ann Clark, who is totally bought into all of this. And she's the one who implemented this curriculum in Charlotte. I think it surprised even some of the liberal Democrat school board members there who pulled back on that book, Jacob's New Dress, because of the backlash they got from parents and others. But, that's the point. It only takes one person in a key position to implement this type of thing in a school. And the LGBT groups are smart, and they're targeting these superintendents and school systems to, you know, try to win them to their side. And that's apparently what they've done in Charlotte. Now, Ann Clark is an interim superintendent, and they have a new one coming in at the end of this year, so it will be interesting to see if this new superintendent in Charlotte is more reasonable and more, you know, cued into the wishes of parents in Charlotte.
Well, I certainly will encourage you and others to continue to do what you are doing. It is mind-boggling that parents don't just rise up and demand that this kind of stuff stop. And quickly, they replaced Jacob's New Dress with Red, a crayon story, which really is a similar message, isn't it? Isn't it, Tammy? Just not as overt in the title?
Yes. It's about a crayon. He's red, and he believes that he's blue, and he's only happy when he asserts himself as being a blue crayon. So it's the same concept, teaching children that what they believe to be true is not really true, which then causes them to question their own ability to discern situations and accurately assess anything around them.
Wow. Before I let you go, Tammy, yesterday we saw the Associated Press came out with a 12-year, I think it was, estimate that House Bill 2 was going to cost North Carolina billions of dollars. I think it was, what, $3-4 billion. And what were your thoughts about that? Because I thought it was kind of like, let's just make up some numbers and have the every media outlet in the state run with it.
Yeah, this is really what I would call fake news. I mean, and the AP is now putting out fake news. And I think it's in response to a story that came out last week in the Washington Times talking about how House Bill 2 has really not impacted the economy of our state. I mean, we're the number one fastest growing economy since 2013. According to PolitiFact, we're the number one lowest state and local business taxes. You know, we're the best business climate. We're ranked number two by both Site Selection and Forbes. Chief Executive ranked us third, and CNBC ranked us fifth. So we are a powerhouse, both regionally and nationally. And the AP is doing the bidding here of the LGBT community by trying to make it look like HB2 is hurting our economy, when in fact it's not. Now, the numbers the AP has used, that almost $4 billion over 12 years, you know, when you look at that and break it down, it's still less than 0.5% of our gross domestic product annually, which is no impact.
Wow.
And AP finally released the numbers of how they calculated that. And they have based 72% of that number they've attributed to PayPal pulling out of Charlotte last year, right after House Bill 2 passed. And I want to just point out that PayPal has not located the jobs that they were going to bring to Charlotte anywhere yet. So they just pulled back on that whole expansion idea. And that leads you to question whether those are really even valid jobs at all.
Wow. So the number that the AP came out with, are you saying, was in large part based on the fact that PayPal did not expand here in North Carolina?
72% of their number came from PayPal, and PayPal has not located that call center or those jobs anywhere a year later.
Well, that's just, can I just say stupid? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Just make up numbers.
That's called fake news.
Tammy, wow. Thank you for bringing us up to date on that. I think I'll go make up some numbers and maybe I can get a few headlines. That's crazy.
Well, these reporters at the AP, they ought to be tarred and feathered for that report because it's false.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We'll certainly herald that loudly going forward. Tammy, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I kept telling Tammy, you know, lastly, but, you know, it's like pulling a string. This stuff is so crazy. It just keeps going, and one question leads to another, and she's very patient to, you know, put up with me saying, and one more thing. And by the way, I felt like Columbo. Remember him, the cop in the dirty raincoat? Oh, just one more thing. But Tammy Fitzgerald is a delight, and I don't know how she does it. She is steadfast in standing up for values in North Carolina, and I, for one, appreciate, and I know that you appreciate that she is out there on the front lines every day. By the way, we need more people out there on the front lines. We need people calling the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School District and Ann Clark and frankly asking them, you know, have you gone completely off the deep end? Here's a good question. Interim Superintendent Clark, why do you want six-year-olds to be indoctrinated in LGBT stuff and transgender stuff? Do you think that's appropriate? Food for thought. Well, thanks to Tammy Fitzgerald, she certainly is the best, in my opinion, at standing fast. And the North Carolina Values Coalition is doing a great job. We appreciate you listening to What Matters in North Carolina. We take every show and try to bring you not only the best guests, but relevant questions, and the answers that we typically get are very good from our guests, and hopefully you come away from the podcast much better informed than you were before you started listening, and that is our goal, to keep you informed and up to date on what matters in North Carolina. Wednesday, huge show, and I'll surprise you tomorrow. But you will not want to miss Wednesday's edition of What Matters in North Carolina. Have a great rest of the day. My name is Mark Shiver. Thank you so much for listening.